Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yes, for new subscribers, go to VRTrader.com. The VR is Victor Robert and stands for Volume Reversal. That's where we got it from decades ago. And even though we use a bunch of other indicators, including cycles, but a lot of my trades are all based on volume shifts. So if you want a discount for new subscribers, 2022 half off is the promo code. And you just enter that in the promo code slot for whatever newsletter you decide or for whatever time frame you decide. And I generally make the same disclosure for regulatory reasons. I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. In other words, I'm not managing money. I'm just reporting the news and talking about the markets and my opinions and, you know, putting up names that I think might be of interest to investors and having a lot of fun doing it.
How would you describe what's happening on the stock markets?
It is crazy. Crazy day. I mean, we came in short today, and you know, you look really smart because the Dow was off and the Nasdaq was really off about 364 points. The Dow held up a little bit, but the interesting divergence was, you know, if you're technically oriented as I am, you know, you're looking at the various indices and confirmations and non-confirmations, and one that popped up today, which has been a laggard, was the Dow Transportation Average, which was up strong. But if you look at the chart, it's been in a downtrend weeks and weeks and weeks. So it was like a one-day pop to the upside in an overall downtrend. So I don't know how meaningful that is or not. But the Dow Transports, you know, Charles Dow created this confirmation, non-confirmation theory decades ago, probably 100 years ago or more. I'm sure it was more than 100 years ago. And you know, the theory is that you want to see the Dow Transports, utilities, and industrials, you know, in sync. And if they're not confirming each other, then you get what is known as a divergence. So even though the market, it's basically manipulated by two or three or four stocks. We know that, a handful of stocks. But that aside, you know, the transports has been underperforming. Well, the S&P or the Dow were going up, and that's a no-no. That means there's an internal divergence in the market, or maybe the transports are telling you something. Maybe business isn't as good as people thought. If they're not shipping stuff and they're not using transportation, that means probably business is slow, and the indices may be going up on false, you know, expectations and or manipulation or both. So with the Dow Transports up today, the other indexes down, and particularly the high flyers had a one-day hit, and we don't know if it's going to continue or not. You know, NVIDIA, an Apple computer, for example, even Tesla, which had a run the last few days. I mean, I'm in the bear camp. I mean, I'm telling you straight. I think this hurricane season, to put it in a generic definition, we've entered that, and I'm looking for surprises to the downside, perhaps even dramatic surprises in the weeks or, you know, months ahead here. So, and you don't have to be a genius to see the divergences in the market and know it's only a certain stocks, handful of stocks that are driving the indexes up. But, you know, I've been doing this for decades, and I'm more of a trader, and I'm more looking for individual things to trade. You know, I'm not a investor where I sit there and hold the S&P 500 or the Dow or the NASDAQ. That's not my strategy. You know, I've been doing this. I pick individual stocks or maybe ETFs in a sector, let's say a Bitcoin or crypto that I like, and I trade this stuff. So That's why we're a VR trader. So I'm always employing guerrilla tactics to the market, in and out, take the trade. And it comes from my floor trading experience where, you know, my people that taught me, told the story many times, you know, came in the morning flat, took a position, traded out of it, went home with no position, and started every day fresh. And they viewed it as a way of making a living, a paycheck every day. And I'm going back now decades where I saw these guys doing it, and it made a lot of sense because you don't have to worry about waking up in the morning and the market's up or down big and it's in the wrong direction from where you're at. So, you know, if you're just a long-term investor and you're just comfortable holding the S&P and the Dow, you know, on a multi-decade basis, you shouldn't even be listening to this broadcast. You should just be holding your stocks. Ultimately, you know, they go up. There's big volatility in over 100 plus years. You know, if you look at a chart, it's just a you know, right angle, left bottom to top right of your chart up with some zigzags along the way. But if you're, you know, looking for action in the market or you want to anticipate or prevent any significant declines in your portfolio, you look to someone like myself who says, well, I think the market's too high and you got to be careful or get out. And or, you know, we took a trade in Tesla the other day. We put a chart up, you know, it was breaking out. Everybody got excited, but we saw it coming on the breakout, for example, you know, and we sold Costco before it had actually was down 30 or 40 points today. We got out of that the other day. You know, Apple, we sold, you know, it just ran up too fast and it was a trade and we've been that for a few days. Generac, which makes the, generators. We took a trade in that thing, you know, and on and on and on. So even Dutch Brothers, which I like, we took a trade in. So I'm just saying we're just trading stuff and, that's the way I work in the market today. Again, a lot of divergences going all different directions. The bulls are all excited about the so-called summer rally. I'm not so excited about that. It's temporary anyway. We're going to generally sell off into the fall as we do in that September-October period where you might get a market crash. Not always, but you could. You know, you got so much political cross currents going on now. I put, you know, it's probably disrespectful, but that's just me. You know, I put up a picture of the Three Stooges, Mo, Larry, and Curly on my website this morning, comparing them to Senator Schumer, our Ukrainian President Zelensky, and let's see, who was else in that picture? One of the other, you know, congressional people that were walking alongside him, you know, as he's trying to get more money being sent to Ukraine. Well, you know, I put that up. Why? Because the big story is NATO, and we're not really talking about that. And I know it's not a political broadcast, but from what I understood, the entire Ukrainian war could have been avoided if we just appeased Putin and just said no NATO for Ukraine, which is what he wanted. And now they're going to push for NATO, and that just gets us closer to our increased World War III situation. And these people are just pushing and pushing and pushing the buttons on Putin. And, you know, I've been saying for months and months and months, you know, the big story is war, 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 and it's not the Fed. And there's bigger things going on, and you got Putin meeting with China every 10 minutes, and we've got North Korea going on, and we're not even talking about geocosmic and other events out there. And we got the U.S. election, you know, all kinds of stories that Michelle Obama is going to take the place of Biden, and whether that's true or not. And I don't want to get into the story about her because I posted it on my website about her true background. You'd have to go to my website to see it. I don't want this broadcast to be edited or condemned. So, you know, bottom line is so much could happen, you know, political, tension, assassination risks, all kinds of stuff out there. And I'm just, thinking you're in a very treacherous, dangerous, time frame. You got potential civil unrest. You've got all kinds of stuff going on. And, you know, I guess, you know, a good place for me is trading them day to day, trying to make a buck as we did a little bit on the short side today. Not big, but a little. And, you know, hedging yourself maybe with treasury bills or other situations where you don't have risk, and just, you know, keeping a lower profile. So, there's a lot of insanity going out there. Like, we got the Hollywood stars. Oh, boy. You know, they like Biden. They don't like Biden. They like Trump. They don't like Trump. These people are in no position to make political comments to begin with. And that's all over the news about, I don't want to mention the particular names. And I'm just sitting here laughing, you know, what's really going on. So you got a crazy market, overdone to the upside, too exuberant, too many risks under the market. And I think, you know, we have a black swan coming of some kind. And, you know, you come in one day and it's down 1,000, 2,000 points. You wonder, why did they pull the rug under this market? It looks so good. You know, NVIDIA was doing great and Apple was doing great. How can they do that to me? How can they break the market 1,000, 2,000 points on me? Well, you're going to see it.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with gold?
Doing well. It's moving higher. You know, I have a mixed feeling about it. I mean, very bullish overall. It's just that, you know, I'm always looking over my back to see what could go wrong. That, you know, suddenly, is it going to really break out here? Some shares have broken out. Gold itself hasn't broken out yet, though it's close. It's looking good, but there's also chart patterns that say you could double top here and come all the way back down again to $300 an ounce and then go up again. So we had some hedges on, some inverse ETFs to protect the position. We took those off a couple of days ago, which was good since the market went up. And I'm just sitting here holding my breath and keeping my fingers crossed because, you know, it seems too easy that gold just going to continue to run here, though overall I think it's going to go up. So, you know, my opinion on gold is it's just another trading vehicle. I'm not in the, as I mentioned a few moments ago, but owning the Dow and the S&P and owning this stuff and putting it away forever. That's not me. Yeah, I got a few coins in the safe deposit box, but I'm more of a trader, and I more trade the ETFs, like Central Fund of Canada, which is the Sprott fund now, which is about 50% gold and silver, you know, stuff like that, that you have instant liquidity, and you're not paying huge premiums to buy and sell gold and silver, which you have to do if you do the physical. So, you know, I'm just, you know, I know at some point I'm going to wish that I had a whole box full of coins, you know, when the so-called revolution comes or civil disrest comes or the economy collapses and you wish you had a bunch of gold and silver coins around to survive. I guess I should prepare for that, but I'm not in that camp. I just see it as another investment trading vehicle. We've seen, you know, since the 1970s and 80s, a tremendous volatility in gold, you know, and I'm not sitting there, you know, like I own a few coins just because they're pretty, but I'm not in the buy and hold, you know, stockpile. I might trade them, and I guess I may regret one day not having more of them if there was a crisis. But in any event, that's where, you know, that's where we're at. It's hanging in there. Some of the shares are acting well, finally. A lot of the shares were not following the gold. They were lagging, and there was a divergence, and some of that has changed now with the shares starting to break out, like ticker symbol AU and AEM, for example. Last one, AEM, is Agnico Eagle. Some of these starting to move a little bit. So it's looking encouraging. I have a $2,700 target, which I mentioned, but I don't know when. You know, I don't know if it's this year or next year, and whether it comes from $200 lower or comes from here. So as a result of that, we're keeping a core position of the gold shares and gold in the portfolio and keeping my fingers crossed that we don't get that shakeout. But if we get a clear sell signal or reversal pattern, I'll sell them all and go to cash and wait for another buy opportunity.
What's going on with crude?
Inching up higher, around $83. You know, I'm a bull overall. I mean, I'm looking for $190 a barrel the next year or two or three. So, and you got smart people, I keep mentioning his name, Warren Buffett, you know, buying Occidental Petroleum, huge position in it. So, and a lot of smart people are buying energy stocks. So, I think, you know, it's like in the gold and silver thing. It's something you believe in and you stick with. And, you know, I think overall, if there's any kind of geopolitical issues, it should be more positive for oil. So, I'm not looking for any shakeout. I'm in there.
What's going on with uranium?
Upticked here a little bit, and we saw a breakout in a couple of the names like Cameco and ticker symbol URA, which is the ETF. So, you know, uranium is still, you know, a core position, particularly in with geopolitical risks. And we know, you know, we stopped selling uranium to Russia and all kinds of cool stuff. So there's demand for it. It's like oil, you know, it's a base commodity that is needed for, you know, space exploration, for military defense, and it's been upticking here for the last you know, couple years slowly. So it's a core position. There's, you know, if no other reasons, military reasons, and hopefully you know, the need to strengthen the grid, the electrical grid, is going to need nuclear energy. So you just got to stick with core names. I guess if you had to hold one, it would be the big Canadian-U.S. name, Cameco, CCJ, and that's been holding up and moving zigzag higher here for months and months. So follow the chart, which still says it's positive.
What's going on with the cryptos?
Well, that's been the big exciting story. We talked about this last week. And, you know, the story, you know, goes back to Mt. Gox. You know, the fraud that occurred back in 2000, was it 11, 12, 13? I forget the date back there, where, you know, that was your vehicle to buy Bitcoin, you know, and this was like your trading platform, the way Coinbase or Uphold, or the, like, two names out there that you use to execute your buys in Bitcoin. This doesn't include, you know, wallets and storage. This is sort of your platform where if you like to take positions. Well, Mt. Gox, I believe, was the first out there, or one of the first, and it went under, and a lot of people on paper, you know, lost a lot of money. And now I wasn't aware that this was still in process as much as it is, but there's a trustee out there, and they've been trying to pay back the losses from over a decade ago. And by doing that, and I don't know the mechanics, I'm not a, you know, Bitcoin trader, I'm a Bitcoin ETF player, you know, more than anything else. But apparently that depressed the market, because somehow they have to go in there and repay the investors in this bankruptcy, and that puts pressure on Bitcoin itself somehow. And again, I can't delineate the exact mechanics of how this is happening, but the fact that the trustee is out there, and that put pressure on Bitcoin, and when that took a 20% nosedive, it took down all the other cryptos with it. And the question is the correction behind us now? And we already saw the little shakeout, because we saw crypto, but Bitco basically dropped from the double top around that 73,000 area down to about 54,000. So we had about a $20,000 decline in Bitcoin itself. And, you know, the charts, you know, look better because we had a correction, but they don't necessarily confirm the bottom. So I'm not sure. I mean, I think it's overall bullish, just like you could say gold's overall bullish, but I'm not sure if the correction's out of the way or not. So I'm a bull overall. The charts look healthier because we had a shakeout, but it, you know, and Ethereum is holding up a little bit better because apparently there's an ETF approvals coming down the road here sooner rather than later, and that's going to help, you know, Ethereum itself, as the ETF gets approved, the way the Bitcoin ETF got approved, it helps put buy pressure on the Ethereum itself. So that's sort of pending. So, you know, the fact that we had a 20% shakeout, and then I guess I'm constructive. I mean, I guess it could drop, that referring to Bitcoin, maybe into the 45,000 area if it really wanted to break again. So that's sort of your risk here. But I'm, you know, I like it. I like it more since you had the shakeout. You know, we jumped in and holding our breath.
On the geocosmic front, anything we have to pay attention to?
Yeah, we have, you know, some solar activities going on again. And, again, I'm not a geophysicist or anything like that, but basically there's this ongoing sunspot problem, and it keeps rotating around the sun, and it's really fascinating if you're into the science of this thing. They're expecting some minor geomagnetic storms July 13th, 14th, when they say a stream of solar wind is expected to hit Earth's magnetic field. But the interesting that's been going on here is that, you know, there's basically some type of superstorm underway, and it's you know, it's affecting our satellites and so forth, and could affect them further. And it's interesting, there's this, you know, again, big sunspot or group of them that keeps rotating around the sun. And I just follow this on spaceweather.com. And it's fascinating because, you know, the power of one of these things could shut down planet Earth really fast. And, you know, nobody's sitting there worrying about it. And I guess you can't do anything about it anyway. But, you know, we keep laughing about that Carrington event back in the mid-19th century. And we came close to one just a few weeks ago. So, you know, something going on, and the solar activity has been on an uptrend. So if this thing takes off, we've already seen, you know, the auroras and all kinds of fun stuff here in the last few weeks. But if a serious one really hits, planet Earth's in trouble, you know, in terms of our technology, and something even possibly more severe. So we hope that's not the case. And just by watching it, it's not going to change anything, but there's stuff definitely going on up there. So anyways, a lot of geomagnetic storm activity and solar stuff going on up there, and that's, you know, really interesting to see how it all pans out. We all hope it doesn't happen.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Love it. Have a great weekend. Thanks for interviewing me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.